Happy Saturday, Nashville. Welcome into Michelle and Junie on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle, Nick Frazier with us live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios this morning. We want to hear your thoughts all show long. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. The Nashville Predators have fired head coach John Hines and hired Andrew Brunette as their new head coach, their fourth head coach in the franchise's history. And actually, he scored the first ever goal for the Nashville Predators on their first ever team. Happy Saturday, guys. Junie, how are we doing this morning?
Doing real good. I got some friends coming in town. I think we're going to grab some lunch. Also had another friend here locally graduate as a firefighter to join the Nashville Fire Department. So I was there. And Mike Vrabel was also in attendance yesterday. So, you know, me, my dad being a firefighter, was really proud of my friend for graduating. So shout out to Tierra for becoming the latest firefighter here in Nashville. So great stuff going on this weekend. And yeah, I'm ready to get kicked off on this show. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about.
Well, congratulations, everybody who's out there who works for this community. It's quite an honor to do that. Frazier, how are we doing this morning?
Doing pretty well. Got some good sleep. I got 5 hours of sleep tonight, last night, not three. So we are doing quite well today.
Oh, he got his beauty sleep in. 5 hours?
Whew. I did. There are no bags under my eyes.
I need like nine, guys.
Frazier runs on no sleep. I mean, like, this guy is it like an Energizer bunny?
You are Frazier. You're an early morning guy, but also a late night guy.
Yeah, as a kid, my mom would always have to go to work early, like 5 a.m. ish, and I'd wake up at 4:30, 5 in the morning. She'd drive me to school, so appreciate my mom helping me with the morning routine. It kind of, you know, kindled me to be who I am today, I guess. So thanks, mom.
We love moms. Thanks to all the moms out there today. But guys, we've had a busy week in the sports world. I obviously mentioned it when we introduced the show today. John Hines out as the Predators coach, Andrew Brunette in as the new Nashville Predators coach. It was a very quick turnaround. It was an interesting way that we found out regarding it. I'll definitely have some thoughts on that. But, you know, the Morning Brew, we kind of just like to run through our top headlines of the week. So that obviously takes the crown as the biggest headline this week. I knew we thought that we would get, you know, a decision made on if John would be continuing with the Predators through this season. But obviously, as I mentioned earlier this week, Barry Trotz and the Nashville Predators announced that John Hines would be let go and they would be moving forward with Andrew Brunette. Junie, just first off, what were your initial reactions on that news earlier this week?
My initial reaction was, it's about time. I had come on this show the past couple weeks, and it had been a topic, whether it was with you or whether it's been with Keezer. And I was just sitting here thinking, like, you know, all these rumors and speculations, and Elliot Friedman goes on Caroline Willie and D-Mace every mm-hmm. single week. And it just seemed like, you know, they're kind of, you know, weighing their options. They're talking to some people, seeing what they can do. And for me, I was just like relieved that finally they made their decision. And I'm not going to sit here and kind of go over, you know, the feelings about that, because they've moved on, they've done it. But yeah, I was just happy that they finally got it over with, that they finally got their new guy in. I liked the decision to move on. I understand the decision to move on. But you know, for me, the whole timing aspect of it, I still don't agree with, because, you know, fortunately for John Hines, he is now kind of getting other opportunities because of connections that he has elsewhere. But you know, that might have not been the case, and it could have really kind of screwed him over in the long run for him to be kind of, you know, held on so long after the season has ended for the Predators. So, but good decision by the Preds. I like the direction, and I think it was a really good move by the organization.
Yeah, I can't say that I was surprised by this move. Maybe just, you know, we talk about it every day, and eventually a move in the offseason will have to be made. I mean, the NHL draft is about 1 month away. It'll be in Nashville at Bridgestone Arena and the NHL Awards starting on June 26th. So we're less than a month away from that. I figured that we would be hearing something soon. You know, the NHL Stanley Cup postseason or playoffs, they are, our final two teams are here. So, you know, a lot of things can be slowed down because of all of those other factors. But then at the same time, you need a coach, you need to make a decision, and you have to move fast during these times. I do know that, you know, we've heard from Elliot Friedman, other people on NHL Network, just kind of don't agree really with how the Predators went about this. right? I mean, we look at the Washington Capitals. They let Peter Laviolette go at the end of the season, right after they didn't make the playoffs. And, you know, you see that statement of these two parties have decided to move different ways. Or the Rangers coach, right? As soon as they got knocked out by the Devils in the postseason, we've decided to part ways. I believe that, you know, it was time to move on to a new coach, a new voice. You have a new GM. I do believe it was time. Barry Trotz had his guy. Yes. But when you have people interviewing for your job and John Hines is still your coach, I just don't know why you just don't fire him.
I completely agree with that sentiment. And, you know, I was kind of, you know, teetering on the line on whether or not they should fire him just because we saw what he did at the end of the year with some of those young developmental players. And like I said, if they moved off of him at the end of the year, like as soon as the season was over, you know, new GM Barry Trotz comes in. He wants to go out and get his coach. I mean, it's completely understandable. You know, John Hines didn't really do much here in Nashville, if I'm being frank. You know, like, I think that the fact that they, you know, held on to him for so long and it's kind of panned out, like, we can kind of move past it and not sit here and cry over spilled milk. But, you know, if he didn't get opportunities, I just think it would have been a little bit better. But I also have to think of it from John Hines' perspective, though, as to, you know, Barry Trotz has kind of come out and said that, you know, they were, you know, communicating with John Hines that this is what it was. If I'm John Hines and I'm a professional coach and I'm the head coach here, this is my title. I have not been fired yet. And the GM comes to me and says, you know, we're going to kind of look and weigh out our options and see if we can get somebody better. But if not, we want to keep you here. As somebody, as a head coach in this league, you have to be at least somewhat prideful. Why would you go along with that? If you know you're on that thin of ice, why are you holding on to a job and with an organization that doesn't necessarily believe in you? I feel like if somebody came to me and I'm in a position and they say, you know, you're not doing a good enough job and we're going to start to look to replace you, but if we can't find anybody better, then we're going to hold on to you. I'm going to be like, no, man, screw you. Like, if you don't believe in me, you don't think I'm doing enough good job when I'm giving my livelihood to this place, I want to get out of here. Like, no, like, I'll go find some place that actually appreciates me. The fact that, you know, Barry Trotz and them, you know, were open and they've come out since hiring Andrew Burnett and said that, you know, they've kept that level of communication with John Hines. The fact that John Hines didn't say, nah, forget that, let's just go our own ways, mutually depart, and let me go find a different opportunity elsewhere, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And it kind of just shows me of the level of desperation that maybe John Hines had to keep his job. And maybe the fact that he had this bit of unknown onto whether or not he would get another opportunity. It's just, I don't know. The whole situation is just a little bit baffling to me.
Well, I think that that's kind of a little bit of a leap there, Junie. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's very easy to sit here and say, Will you just walk away? I mean, there's only 32 head coaching jobs in the NHL. I mean, it's the highest level of coaching. I mean, there's only 32, right, in the NFL. So, you know, it's really easy to say, oh, I'm just going to walk away. But I mean, you're not going to walk away from a head coaching job if you think you have a job next year.
But does he really, though? If they're already looking to replace you, That's different, though, for me.
At the end of the day, we don't know what those conversations between John and Barry Trotz were. We don't. We know what the facts of that we know are the end of year press conference when Paul Skrbina asked Barry Trotz and he said, you know, we're evaluating. Or sorry, let's go back even further. When Barry Trotz got hired, he went on Jared Stillman's show on our station. And he said, you know, we're evaluating, went on and on and on. He thinks John did a really good job with this team towards the end of the season. Then end of year press conference, it's David Poile, Barry Trotz, John Hines. We're still evaluating when Paul Skrbina from the Tennessean asks him, hey, I'm assuming John's going to be here next year, blah, 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 blah. Then Barry Trotz comes on with Robbie and I for the morning show just about 3 weeks ago. Same answer, still evaluating. So those are the only facts of the situation that we know. We know those are the comments that he made outward to the media. That's what we know. We also know that John Hines was still the head coach of this team. What we don't know are the conversations behind the scenes. And I think that, you know, that's how they handled it. You know, Barry Trotz was a coach. He's been in this situation before. So I think it's important for us to, you know, separate. This is the facts of what happened. And we don't know what happened with those conversations behind the scenes.
I mean, again, that's fair. But from what I've heard from Barry Trotz, he said that he's had an open line of communication. And if you have an open line of communication and John Hines knows that you're going to other candidates, engaging their interest on the job, that, I mean, that has to set in with John Hines that he had somewhat of an idea that, you know, if they find the right guy, they will be moving on from me. And for me, you know, looking at that situation, I'm looking at John Hines saying, like, if you're already looking at other people and talking to other people, let me go ahead so I can get a jump start, because other coaching candidates are interviewing elsewhere and I want to be in the mix on that earlier rather than later. That's just me personally, because, like I said, if your team is already starting to talk to other people to replace you, the prideful side of me says, okay, then
but
go ahead.
But he's under contract. He's under contract.
I know. I understand that, Michelle, but it's a brand new GM, and a brand new GM typically wants to come
in. But John can't just say, hey, I'm out of here. Like, he is under contract.
He can ask for his release. He can say, like, listen, I would like to mutually depart. And likely if he goes to Barry Trotz with that, I think Barry would honor that. As a former coach.
We also don't know.
We don't know. This is why I'm saying I'm speculating it. Like, I'm telling you the situation, and if Barry Trotz is having an open line of communication with John Hines, my thing with John Hines is if you're already talking to other people to replace me, it's a brand new GM, I'm likely out of here anyway because my resume doesn't say that, you know, I've had a ton of success here. I would rather go somewhere else where they do believe in me and get a fresh start. That, I mean, that's just my opinion on it. I don't think that that's too crazy to think.
I just think it's speculating a lot on what we don't know. We have no idea what happened behind the scenes. Like, we have no idea the conversations that they had. We have no idea if Barry said to John, hey, you're a finalist, I want to talk to a couple other people, you know, there is this amount of chance that you could be the coach here next year. Like, we just do not know. So I just think it's unfair probably on both parties to speculate and then kind of make opinions of, well, why would you do that? Why would you stay here when we really don't know what was said behind the scenes? Like, he could have thought, hey, you know, I'm not fired yet, so I have a good shot of being the coach here next year. Like, we just do not know that. Because usually when you go ahead and start interviewing people for a head coaching job, there isn't a current head coach in place.
I guess I'm just of the sentiment, you know, just especially watching the NFL for as long as I have. You know, coaches that are going to get fired immediately. So this is new territory. Like, you know, being, you know, covering the NHL for the last couple of years, and you know, we know the Preds, this is only their fourth head coaching hire. They don't have a lot of turnover. So it's been a while, and neither of us were in this market when they moved off of Peter Laviolette. So I see it, and that was also in season too. So, I mean, really the last time that they moved off of a coach in the offseason was when they moved off of Barry Trotz. And that was, I mean, both of us were still in high school when that happened. So, and neither of us were living in Nashville either. So for me, it's just a bit odd. It's not something that I'm necessarily used to seeing. And it's just for me, like, I've seen, you know, coaches and get prideful about it. And if they believe that they got the stuff and that they can be a leader of men and leader of an organization, you know, the logic for me says that I would rather, you know, get ahead and not get left in the dust when all these other coaching candidates that are on the open market are starting to interview for the open positions. And if this team holds on to me for too much longer, I'm going to miss out on those opportunities when I know I'm on thin ice here and that they're likely going to replace me with a brand new ownership and a brand new GM coming into this franchise.
Completely understand what you're saying, but at the same point, and I know we have to go to break here really quick, John was under contract. He can ask to be released. And if they say no, John is still under contract and he can't do anything about that. So completely get that, both sides of the story. A couple other headlines I want to get to really quick. Get to college baseball. Tennessee beat Charlotte in the first round of the Super Regional 8-1. Vanderbilt also beats Eastern Illinois in the Nashville Regional 12-2. And then Brett Kern, longtime punter of the Tennessee Titans, was with the Eagles last season. He announces his retirement. Yesterday, big part of the organization will be interesting to see if they want to put him into the Ring of Honor. And then Bob Hyde, longtime executive who was with the Oilers and the Titans over multiple decades has passed away. So sending our thoughts and prayers to his family and everybody who knew him out there. But coming up next, Junie and I are going to continue this situation with the Nashville Predators. We obviously gave you a preview in the first segment, going to continue this discussion with the Nashville Predators, how the hiring was made, and what do we think Andrew Brunette will be like as the head coach of this team. Coming up next, I'm Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.
Sometimes coaches get fired, yeah, and they bring in a coach, and it's not the best coach, but it's the best guy who was there at that time. And if you didn't love the best guy who was there at that time, then John Hines would still be the coach of the Predators. But you did love this guy who is sitting down and joining us now, Andrew Brunette. So you did love that guy, and that's why you made the move. Is that wrong or a mischaracterization at all?
No, you hit it right on the nail. You really did. You that's what I was looking at. When I knew I had the right guy, I was all in. And that's exactly what happened.
That was Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette with Jared Stillman earlier this week after the Nashville Predators announced that Andrew Brunette would be the fourth head coach in Nashville Predators history starting now. Welcome back in, Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3. The game this week's Nashville's best deal is Central Barbecue in Hillsborough Village. Central Barbecue is a slow-cooked Memphis-style barbecue restaurant where their motto is smoke is our sauce. Go to the Game Nashville /deals for half off a $30 gift card to Central Barbecue today. Continuing the discussion on Andrew Brunette, John Hines, just to give people some background on Andrew Brunette, if you haven't listened to the station or really heard much about him earlier this week, but Andrew Brunette actually was a part of the first ever Nashville Predators team and actually scored the first goal ever for the Nashville Predators in their second ever game, which I think is just so, I think it's so cool, Junie, to see how full circle this organization has come, right? The organization started in 97 or 98 that season. And, you know, they're about to turn 25 years old this year. Their first ever coach, Barry Trotz, is now taking over as general manager. One of their first ever players on their first ever team is now taking over as head coach. He scored the first ever goal. I mean, talk about storybook, the way all of this has just kind of come to the surface.
Well, you know, the Preds, although they are a younger team, they were a expansion franchise in the late 90s. I feel like that they've done a good job of adopting good tendencies of a good organization, you know, not making rash decisions, you know, like firing coaches every other year. You know, they've obviously had the same GM up until, you know, this year with David Poile. And now they've moved on to Barry Trotz, who was their first coach. So, you know, the Preds have the identity of a family-based organization and not, like I said, making, you know, calculated moves and bringing people that want and identify themselves with the Nashville Predator way. And that's how you build a winning culture. And although, you know, the Predators haven't, you know, won a Stanley Cup yet in their short stint as a team, you know, they've still done a lot of winning. They've still appeared in the playoffs a bunch. So, you know, the fact that they go with a guy that was a former player, he's a young and up-and-coming coach that had a lot of opportunities this offseason, I believe it was a great hire. I believe it was a great move. I think it can kind of rejuice this team. And they're at a point right now where they have a lot of draft capital. They have some good prospects that are playing down in Milwaukee, and they have good veteran leadership and good goaltending. So I feel like as much as people are looking at this as a rebuild, this could really be more of a retool and a quicker turnaround than what most people are thinking.
Yeah, so I think actually, Junie, too, I think that, I mean, we've talked about the difference between Rand Carthon taking over the Titans as general manager versus Barry Trotz taking over the Predators as general manager. And these two teams are in completely different situations. With the firing of John Robinson, you know, Rand Carthon comes into a lot of aging contracts, some older players who are getting paid a lot just from contract restructures or anything down the line, or just signings that are maybe hurting you like on the cap front versus Barry Trotz taking over, David Poyle, they had created this plan, which I like to call it like handing the baton over, and Barry's coming in and they sell at the trade deadline and he's got a lot of cap space. He's got a lot of draft capital. So, I mean, if you're a new GM taking over a team, like that is all you can ask for. Like you can really do so many different things. And we've talked about that. Do they want to package some picks together to move up in the draft? Do they want to package some picks together to go and try and get a guy? And the cap space, right? Moving off some of those bigger contracts, like a Matias Ekholm, like a Mikael Granlund at the trade deadline, really, really helped the Preds to be in their situation. Just a little background on Andrew Brunet and his head coaching just experience he's had in the NHL. So in 2022, after the Joe Quenneville situation that happened, so Joe Quenneville used to be with the Chicago Blackhawks, and he was involved in the whole Kyle Beach sexual assault scandal. He left the Panthers in 2022, and then Andrew Brunet took over mid-season. So they had already played about 7 games. Andrew Brunet takes over, and then he's the head coach for the remainder of the season. He coached for 75 games. I think they won over 50 games. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me right now.
He was 58-18.
A game or a team that ended up winning the President's Trophy. And as you can tell, now the same team that is in the Stanley Cup Finals. So clearly a talented roster, but winning the President's Trophy is the highest honor you could win for the regular season, makes it past one playoff series. And then they end up getting swept by the Tampa Bay Lightning, who went on, as we know, they were in the middle of their reign, went on to go face the Avalanche for the Stanley Cup Finals. Then Andrew Brunet last year, this past season, he was an associate coach with the New Jersey Devils, specifically worked with special teams, specifically worked with that power play. And Barry Trotz has gone as far to say is one of the best offensive minds in the game right now. So, you know, you look at what the Predators struggled with these last couple of years, and it really was that power play falling, other than the year where Duchesne, Forsberg, Yossi, other than the year, I think that it was 2021, where they had career seasons, you know, this power play was ranking in the 22nd, 23rd, really the bottom half of the league's power play. The year where the guys had the career years, they were up to 6. So they were higher in the power play ranking. But it really is something that, I mean, it's free goals you talk about, right? Like getting a good kicker on an NFL team, it's free points. Right. And the power play and having a successful power play, like it can help and, you know, advance your team so much. So Andrew Brunet coming here as the new coach with all of that experience. And, you know, I think the fact that he was in a situation with the Panthers, no, he didn't end up getting the head coaching job this year. They didn't decide to bring him back on. He was just the interim head coach. Being a part of that New Jersey Devils team with their power play, I think was really beneficial for him.
Yeah, no, most definitely. So a lot of things to touch on there. So the Panthers the year prior, I mean, they were a solid team. And again, that was in the 2020 year before he took over in Florida. And, you know, they were a first-round exit. I think something that is really key to point out was, you know, they didn't finish first in their division the year prior. Like, this roster, although it was good down in Florida, it wasn't like it was over the top. It wasn't like they were expected to win the President's Trophy. And he did do that in his first year. And they set up some really good offensive numbers. I think Robbie mentioned it on your all show that in the salary cap era, you know, they averaged the most goals per game in that season. So, you know, he is a young offensive mind. The NHL, you know, the past couple of years has been more of an offensive-centric team. So I see a guy like that, and especially with what he did in New Jersey as an assistant coach, like you touched on, you know, New Jersey was not really a good team. They have struggled for the last, 10 to 15 years, really, and haven't been in much playoff contention. And he comes in and immediately helps, spark. They got a lot of young talent there because they've been picking so high in the draft. And you could see the immediate turnaround offensively and in the power play in specific, like you touched on, that really helped edge that team. And like I said, they had one of their best seasons that they've had in the last decade up in New Jersey. So, you know, kind of like in the NFL that we see young, offensive-minded coaches that are getting hired, some of which that you may not have ever heard of. I mean, this guy, although his resume as a head coach is small, you know, was a finalist for the Jack Adams Award for Coach of the Year. I just think that he can do a lot with this team, and if he can help elevate this team offensively, even just a little bit coming in, especially with some of the young talent, having a guy like UC Sarles is always going to keep you in contention. So it will be really exciting and maybe energizing for this team to get a little boost offensively while having such elite goaltending on the back end defensively.
Okay, Junie and I are going to get into more of the head coaching hire, the John Hines transition to the Andrew Brunette coming up next. Jared had some colorful comments on something that I said on the morning show, which just completely was spun and not at all what happened. But we will discuss that all next coming up on Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
So the one little mini sample we have wasn't just good, it was excellent. John Hines does not have excellent at all on the resume. And so while Jay says to me, why do you keep talking about Hines? And Ian says to me, you know, what's the point of talking about Hines when he's gone? That is the point. That's the point. Those takes. The fact that Michelle thinks it's even between John Hines and Andrew Brunette, like, what planet are we living on? What solar system are we living in? I mean, seriously, 8 years. No success. Zero. John Hines has won as many playoff games in his career over 8 years. 4. And that includes that one play-in win in the bubble against Arizona, which I don't really count the playoffs, but the NHL technically counts it as the playoffs. He has as many playoff wins in his career over 8 seasons as Andrew Brunette has as an interim coach for 1 season.
Welcome back in, Michelle and Junie. Michelle Knezvik, Junie Riddle. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME, or you can use my promo code Knez, K-N-E-Z, first four of my last name. Okay, you just heard that audio from Jared Stillman there, who completely just spun what the actual question was and completely did like 3 segments on saying that we said that the move was lateral. Not true. Just not true whatsoever. So let's just get our facts straight. Let's just make sure that when we decide to do a segment on it, we are accurately representing what the actual question, what the actual, you know, answer was, and not just using a sound clip but not actually prefacing what the question was. I want to shout out Ian Safar, who reminded him of that a couple of times on the show. The question was not, how do you rate the move? I didn't never said it was a lateral move. So let's just run that comment back. The question was, both coaches, the next 5 years, what could they do with a roster? Who knows if this is going to be, you know, who knows what type of GM Barry Trotz is going to be? Who knows what type of players they're going to get? And really, like, I'll go into my answer and I'll explain what I meant, but really nobody knows. Nobody knows how Barry's going to be as a GM. He's been a very successful coach in the NHL, but we don't know how he's going to be as a GM. Nobody knows what John Hines' future is going to be like in the NHL after his stint with the Predators. Nobody knows what Andrew Brunette's going to be like for a head coach for a couple of years. Yeah, you can grab facts and you can boost your argument, you can defend your argument, sure. But at the end of the day, no one knows. So I will tell you guys what the actual question was. So let's just get that straight first off. And I want to thank Junie Riddle for letting me know that this was happening, because I was not listening to the show, because I wasn't. And brought this to my attention. So Junie Riddle, I appreciate you, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course. And I thought it would be a good topic. And I think it's a good conversation. But if I'm being honest, I kind of lean towards more Jared. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say
I didn't even say what the question is. You tell me what you think the question is.
Well, I know. You said, what do you think, who's going to, you know, put a team in a better situation for the next 5 years? Isn't that what it was about?
The question was, in the next 5 years, what would you rate each coach here in this organization with Barry Trotz, whatever type of teams you have?
With the Predators Robbie in general, or like when John Hines goes somewhere else and what he does in the next 5 years compared to what Andrew Brunette will do here with the Nashville Predators? Am I getting that right?
It's saying that, you know, both are the coach under Barry for the next 5 years. What would this team look like?
So putting them in the same situation with the Nashville Predators under Barry Trotz, under the same situation, right?
Let me defend my answer first before we get your answer.
Okay? Go ahead.
The reason I gave so Robbie and Joe were on the same page. They gave John Hines a 4. They gave Andrew Brunette a 5. I put them both at a 5, which made Jared go crazy and said I said this was a lateral move. No, I didn't. I gave John Hines a 5 because we've seen John Hines coach in the NHL for years now. His stint with the New Jersey Devils, his stint with the Nashville Predators.
Which has not been good.
He has been a 500 coach.
Okay.
Average. So average coach. Hasn't been awful. Like, everybody's acting like he didn't win. He has been a 500 coach. He's been a middle of the pack, made the playoffs, hasn't won a playoff series. He has been a 500 coach. Give him a 5 out of 10. Fair, right? 500 coach. Average. Blank in the middle. I don't know what his coaching, like the New Jersey Devils teams, I understand he coached an MVP 1 year, but the Devils teams weren't what the Devils team is now. So like, let's not act like the Devils were like this awesome, like stacked roster. The Predators teams he's coached, I believe that Peter Laviolette had better rosters than John Hines did. Am I saying that these teams like couldn't have succeeded more? No, I think that these teams could have. You had a UC Saros, you had a Roman Josi. I think average, a 500 coach. Okay, give him a 5. The reason I gave Andrew Brunette a 5 is because we still have so much unknown. He took over a team that clearly is a successful team. I mean, they're literally in the Stanley Cup finals right now. I know there's been different moves and they got Matthew Tkachuk this year in the offseason, but he took a team that was 7-0 when he took them over. Like I understand, like, that's a very small sample size, and an entire NHL season is a very long season. And I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm not taking anything away, because what he did, that was excellent. To get the President's Trophy, yes, that is excellent. What he did. Yes, he went to the New Jersey Devils and he helped them have a very successful power play as an assistant coach. Great. The sample size is still so small. And Jared's having the argument of like, well, he's won more postseason. And the President's Trophy team, they lost to Tampa in the first round. So, you know, he's saying, well, he's won more playoff series. He won in New Jersey as an assistant coach, which I'm not taking anything away from him. But, you know, like, you're a head coach for the reason. You get praised and then you get knocked down when you don't do certain things. So the reason I gave him a 5, and maybe I should have just gave him a 6 for the sake of, because they do think his ceiling is higher, but it's because it's still so unknown. He's still a young guy. And what can he do with rosters that look like this Predators team's roster? Because if you put them side by side, the Panthers team last year and the New Jersey Devils team this year, yeah, I would say they're a lot better. And okay, yes, the President's Trophy. But the argument for John Hines has always been that he can't win in the playoffs. And he's had a winning record and made it into the playoffs. So the President's Trophy comment, I get it. It's a very high honor. It's great. But don't we only care about postseason winning? So that was my thing. Like, he took it as if I said this move was lateral. No, not saying that. Because I do believe, you know, voices get stale. You need a new voice in the room, a younger guy, some new ideas, some fresh ideas. You need a change. But to say that, you know, because Jared put him at like a 7-2. To say that they would be so drastically different, like, he's acting as if John Hines, like there's a reason the guy's been a coach in the league for so long. Like, he's a 500 coach. No, I'm not saying he's the best coach ever, but I'm also not saying he's the worst coach ever. So I think, like, he just went like the way he said what I said is just not how it was portrayed.
I understand that, but you also have to, like, look at the body of the work. I mean, we can sit here and say all day long about any topic that we have, like, okay, yeah, that's unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. Like, we could give that answer for just about any situation whatsoever. I think the point of the matter is, and again, I think Jared's discrepancy between the two is, you know, maybe a little bit over dramatic, you know, with how far apart that they are, especially, you know, with Burnett's lack of coaching history. But I think the point of the matter is that Andrew Burnett in 1 year taking over, and again, let's not overshadow the fact that, you know, when Quenneville left Florida, and with all the allegations that are going on, that is the leader. That is the person that is like trying to rally the troops. And when all of these things come out about his stint in Chicago and how he played a part in all that stuff, you know, that can really change the trajectory of a team. And you brought it up. They didn't have a guy like Matthew Tkachuk. They didn't have that superstar player that can just come in and take it. Because, I mean, basically look at this playoffs. Like, how many game winners has Matthew Tkachuk had? How many times has he taken them out of the hole? I would argue with you that if they didn't have Matthew Tkachuk, they don't beat Boston. They don't even get out of the first round. If Pittsburgh doesn't choke away the end of the year, they don't even make it to the playoffs in Florida.
Not even talking about this.
Michelle, I gave you the whole segment. Let me finish. I gave you the whole segment. Listen, him coming in and taking over that job flat out was a tough situation, and he took the bull by the horns, and they completely did as much as they possibly could. They lost to the Lightning, which the Lightning in the last 9 years, including this season, they have either been in the conference championship, they have either been in the Stanley Cup finals, or they have won the Stanley Cup in 6 out of the last 9 years. So for them to get swept in the second round and for Burnett to lead Florida to their first playoff series win in 10 years is something significant. What?
The first round of the playoffs?
No, they made it to the second round, Michelle. They won their first round series.
They played Tampa in the first round.
They were the number one seed. Tampa was not the final seed. Go look it up. That is not true. They won a play. He gave that team their first playoff series win in 10 years. Their last one was 2012, and they won in 22. So, yes, he has had more success in 1 year than John Hines is. So when you take that, he was up for Coach of the Year. He took over a team that could have really, you know, flipped the switch and went into turmoil. And he set records. He was up for Coach of the Year. Like, they had an amazing year. And I think when you look at this guy, to sit here and say that, oh, the next 5 years in a given situation, they would be equal, I just don't think that that's true at all. Again, Jared over-dramatized it, but he still made some valid points as to, you know, putting them at a very similar mark, I just don't think makes sense.
So the Florida Panthers get the benefit of being, you know, knocked out by Tampa, but yet the Predators don't get the benefit of being swept by the Avs?
I think it's a bit different, and we can carry over this conversation into the next segment, because I know we got to go to break. But, I mean, really, part of the reason why they got swept by the Avs was because of decisions that John Hines made towards the tail end of that year.
Or because they didn't have their goalie, who was a Vezina finalist. That's probably a big reason.
I mean, we can give excuses all day long, but the fact that UC Soros played the most games in the NHL that year was part of the reason why he had
the rear
tail
at the end of
the
year. Dude, he wasn't in the playoff series.
Because he played the most games, Michelle. He played more games that year than any other goaltender. And
dude,
if you don't
I'm not
think that had any wear and tear.
Season.
It had.
Okay, we got to go to break. We're going to continue this conversation. Coming up next, Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Michelle Knezevic, Junie Riddle, Nick Frazier with us live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. This morning, the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament is presented by Gary Ford's Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls this Wednesday. Like to support Souls for Souls? Check out the silent auction items or make a donation. Visit thegamenashville.com/golf for more information. Listen, we've got a couple of you guys weighing in on our phone and text line. Our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 1025 The Game phone and text line, 615-737-1025. Like I said, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I've got one question, and I want to go around the room with this question, and I think it will encapsulate this entire argument, but kind of take a step back, and instead of looking at specific coaches, specific games, because you can argue them left and right. You can make one argument to benefit you, not. I want to ask one simple question to both of you, Frazier and Junie, okay? You guys ready?
Yep.
Okay. What means more when winning, coaching or players?
I would say players.
Nick?
Please repeat the question. I'm sorry. I was answering a phone on the phone line.
No, 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 you're good. What means more when winning, coaching or players?
Honestly, to me, it's going to be a weird answer, but it depends on the sport. If we're pertaining to hockey here,
coaching changes do a lot in hockey.
They do. You know, in this situation regarding the Preds, I'd probably say players.
No. Just in general.
Just in general. Oh, okay.
Like not hockey, not anything. What means more in sports across the board, players or coaches?
I'm going to go with players just because I've seen players that have been, you know, transcending, that have been different. They can change the pace of a game. I'm going to go with players for this answer.
So ding, ding, ding. Compare both of those rosters to me, and then we can revisit this topic another day. Because I agree, players.
Yeah, you know, Michelle, I just want to chime in real quick between what you and Junie have said.
Yeah, turn in, Nick.
You know, last segment, you guys talked about what would work, Hines or Brunette. You know, and you mentioned a great point about playoffs. If we're playing regular season, it's about getting to the playoffs. Personally, sure. I think both coaches can get it. From what is going on with the Admirals recently, if you take that progress and take it into next season, along with whatever happens in this year's draft, I think personally both coaches get to the playoffs, in my opinion. Whereas which one will go farther, I would lean to Brunette just because of the pedigree of the offensive caliber that he's, you know, brought to the table. So, I mean, if that gives any more clarification to anybody's answer that's listening out there, then hopefully I give my two cents and it makes sense to you.
Yeah, no, sure, Nick. Thanks for chiming in on that. And I think that is sometimes where sports arguments get skewed. Because, you know, we can do the regular season argument or, you know, the postseason argument because, you know, at the end of the day, nothing is X's and O's and we really have no idea how either of them are going to pan out. Like, I think a true test, and Jared did bring up this point, is, you know, John Hines looks like he will be up for the Rangers job. That is a great roster. That is a great roster top to bottom. And I think that's very, very clear to everybody right now. It's also a really hard market. I mean, we saw their coach, you know, get fired this year after the season they had and getting bounced in the playoffs. And we see it a lot in the NHL. I'd say more than any other sport is when you lose, like hockey, they're really opt to move on from their coaches very, very quickly. And you don't get many opportunities. But I think that will be the true test. I don't think John Hines was an awful coach. Do I think that Andrew Brunette is a young star that could be a great coach someday? Yeah, I do. But we still just don't know because the sample size is so small. We've seen a pretty big sample size of John Hines being a decent coach in the NHL. Like I said, about 500. Can't win a playoff series, sure. But you know, to then say that you can project what a coach will be in the next 5 years and really the first 5 years of being a true, true head coach, I just don't also think is fair. And I think to the point that I made at the beginning of this segment to you all was at the end of the day, when you're winning sports games, what is the true factor? The factor is having really elite players. And I'm not saying coaching isn't important because I do think you have the coaches out there like the Mike Tomlins, like the Andy Reids, like some, and obviously that's NFL, for example, but I do think the coaches, yes, can elevate you, but the true test in winning a championship, winning a cup, winning Lombardi Trophy, like winning these things, you have to have, you know, generational players who can get out there and execute. And when I look at the rosters that each coaches and the teams that each coach has been a part of, I think there is a difference. I truly do. And that's why I'm giving the benefit of the doubt. And I think this argument kind of got into, you know, more specifics in the games and the wins and the losses and everything like that. But I think that probably encapsulates what I was trying to convey when saying all of this.
I just think it undermines how valuable a good coach is to a franchise in any given sport. And again, you know, players do win games, but coaches also, you know, strategize and put players into the best situation to be able to succeed. And for me, when I look at John Hines, it was the inconsistencies in seasons were really what led to, you know, his downfall. You know, in 2020 and 2021, that season, they had an awful start. They were dead in the water. And because of a late month and a half push, They ended up making the playoffs and actually had a really solid season with a really talented Carolina team. But, you know, in 2021-2022, you know, they had a hot start. I mean, the Preds were one of the hottest teams in the league, and at one point they were even first place in the West. And then all of a sudden, the season starts to taper off, and UC Soros, like I said, really got overplayed, and they had David Riddick and they had Connor Ingram as backups, and those guys weren't getting it done, and ended up Soros just got worn down because he played 67 out of 82 games, and that's just way too much. And we saw that number go down a little bit this year, and he wasn't the most played goaltender, and he wound up staying a little bit healthier with Lankinen being in there and being serviceable when he got the opportunity to play. So I just see it as, you know, John Hines, he's been a head coach for 8 years. The success isn't there. And we've seen Andrew Brunette being a very young and up-and-coming offensive-minded coach. That's where the league is kind of moving towards. There have been reports that, you know, the players in the locker room were starting to kind of tune John Hines out and getting kind of sick of the system that he was running, because it was more or less like be really, really aggressive on the forecheck and just, you know, try and get a goal here and there and just really rely heavily on your goaltender. And I think that would have worked for you, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. But in the modern day NHL, you need to set your players up in good offensive opportunities, taking advantage of the power play. And I just think the significant difference between the two is how Brunette is going to put this Predators team into those situations and get the most out of the players offensively, whereas John Hines didn't necessarily do that. And I just think that, you know, kind of saying that, you know, we don't know and that they're kind of, you know, at the same level, I just don't agree with that. And that's just me personally.
And I also do want to preface something too from the last segment before we head to our second hour, and we're going to switch to the NFL, talk a little DeAndre Hopkins. But, you know, when you look at that Avs series, I don't think it's fair to say, you know, Well, John Hines didn't make some right calls. I mean, they didn't have their Vezina finalist goalie. I mean,
I get that, but
I know the Avs went on to they actually swept other teams.
Well, of course they did. And again, that Avs team was excellent, but I mean, look at where that Predators team were. They were supposed to be the number one wild card. They were supposed to go play in Calgary. And because that they dwindled away those last, you know, like I said, they lost 5 out of 7 games to end that year. Because of that, they ended up playing the Avalanche. And because Soros played so many games, he got hurt. Michelle, you keep interrupting me. Please let me finish what I'm saying. I do not interrupt you. Let me finish what I'm saying. So because he got knocked out and because they lost that first wild card spot, you're playing a much more difficult team. And it wasn't like they just got swept. In every single game, they just got absolutely their doors blown off them. It wasn't even close whatsoever. So I just think that a little context and how they kind of choked away the end of that season, even with Soros in the lineup, has to be taken into consideration as well.
Completely get that. But before, you said they lost the series because of decisions John Hines made. I understand they were put in that place because they lost games, but
playing Soros that many games had to do with it.
Hey, come on, let me finish. We'll switch topics to the NFL a little bit. Coming up on the second hour, Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.